worship. Our big time kids drama team has got a presentation you do not want to miss. And the Breaking Point Dance Company that was with us at Christmas is returning and will be with us on Easter Sunday in all our services for a special presentation as well. So please, you do not want to miss this Sunday coming. It's going to be fantastic. And this is the day today that our Savior and King, he came to the place where he defeated death. And as much as our time together today focuses on the cross, the good news is that today in heaven, so many, many years ago, that countdown started at 3, and it just kept on going down until Sunday came when Jesus came back from the dead. And the fact that he died is an amazing thing. The fact that he didn't stay dead is even more incredible. As a matter of fact, he was the one who said of himself in the book of Revelation, I am he who lives and was dead, past tense. You know, there's a lot of gods out there that are D-E-A-D, dead. I mean, they are dead, but our God was dead and now is alive. And I think it's incredible that in our lifetime, we see a span of life. We live and we die, but he died and he lived, which is absolutely incredible. Now, many of you call Calvary your home. You're a part of our home. Many of your families are here with us today. And so I want to encourage you to do three simple things as we head into Easter Sunday. The first thing is I want you to pray. Pray for the services that are coming up. Pray for our teams. Pray for those that will be making decisions to follow Christ. Second thing I want you to do is to invite people. Take some of the invitations, invite somebody between now and Sunday to come and join you. This is the one day out of the 52 Sundays in a year that you're most likely to have somebody say yes. At Easter and Christmas, people are given towards considering it and even coming. So I encourage you to make the best of this opportunity and come to one of the services on Sunday that has extra parking and extra seats. Our 12 o'clock, our new 12 o'clock service has lots of extra room. So maybe come and bring your friends to that. And then the third thing is I want you to participate. You may not be singing or dancing or preaching on the stage, but you can be a part of what God is doing here at our church. You could be a Team Calvary ambassador. And so today I officially deputize, actually I think I may have just blessed you. I deputize you, now I think I knighted you, but I deputize you, I think you need a badge for that, to be a Calvary greeter on this Sunday. So if you see somebody that's lost, that's new, make them feel at home, make them feel welcome. If it wasn't for people that made me feel that many, many years ago, I wouldn't be here today. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some interesting things in the life of Christ in his final days leading up to the cross. In episode 1 and 2, we talked about how he was resolutely set and fully focused, fully devoted to the call that was on him. Both lessons that all of us can take a page from and learn from as we see and believe for God's very best in our lives. But we know that some moments in our life are more challenging than others. Some weeks are more challenging than others. And some would say, man, this has been the most difficult year of my life. That's what somebody said to me the other day. And they said, I'm looking forward to seeing some change. And so we know that without his strength to navigate those waters, sometimes that can be very difficult. Hebrews 12 in the first two verses says, let us run with perseverance the race marked before us, fixing our eyes, keeping our focus. That's what we've been doing in this series on the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, the Bible says he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, praying and interceding for you. This morning, my message is entitled Enduring All. Let's just take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you today for what you did on Calvary's cross. And that gives us life today. We celebrate your endurance in all that you did to accomplish what you did to see our sins forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, on Monday, the world watched in shock and awe as Notre Dame exploded into flames. And this 800-year-old historical monument in Paris was before our eyes being destroyed. And people could hardly get their minds around it as the fire department there in Paris scrambled to kind of get control of the flames. They were also trying to preserve these works of art and these relics So it was a kind of an extra difficult time for them to try and preserve the history that this cathedral represented. A couple of years ago, Susan and I on our anniversary visited Paris, and one of the first stops that we went to was this beautiful cathedral. And to see the artwork and the history, to stand in a place which was just like, it took your breath away. It was just so incredible. And now as I watched on television, I was watching everything that I saw disappear in a matter of hours. And I think the world, the global community, was equally surprised when the first few pictures of the inside began to make its rounds. This was one of the first pictures that they showed to the press as firefighters started to kind of peer in to see what was left. They didn't know, honestly. And as the spire and part of the roof caved in, they were thinking the worst. And there was just so much water being poured into that place, they didn't know what would be left over. But as they peered through the doors and saw the smoke rising, the one thing as they shone the light into that dark room was the cross, still standing, still gleaming in the night in the midst of all that destruction. As a matter of fact, it's hard to see, but if you zoom in on this picture, on either side of the cross, there is actually still white candles standing there untouched, not even melted. The heat, the inferno that this building was engulfed in would have, you can imagine, caused incredible destruction. And yet the cross still stands. Today in our lives, sometimes we face moments where we feel like we're surrounded by flames and brokenness and smoke and confusion. And yet the cross still stands in our lives as a symbol of hope, to give us hope of a better day, to give us hope that we can rebuild and rise from the ashes with what the next part of our life looks like. The same power that fueled his resurrection now is touching our lives. Hebrews 12 tells us that he endured all because of the joy that was set before him. Now that joy, all that pain, all that agony, all that humiliation was what he stayed focused on. So as he was going through the worst day of his life, all of that torture, he was actually thinking about something else. He wasn't focused on his worst day ever. He was focused on the joy that was ahead of him. And that joy, the joy that he focused on, was you. It was me. That joy allowed him to endure what he needed to face. This picture was actually taken on my trip to Israel. As I've been highlighting some of these shots, the title slide, not the Paris slide, of a cross that shone in the reflection on the ground as we stood by the River Jordan. It was a chapel that we had just come out of. And yet everywhere you look, whether it's in the Holy Land or here today on our platform, this cross represents something to all of us. And every one of us have faced and experienced a bad day. Some of us may be having one today. I don't know how yours started. But I hope that by the end of it that will have changed. Many of the days that we face, whether they're throughout the week or throughout the year, are days that wish we would have a do-over, that we could maybe forget even happened altogether. These are difficult times for us to kind of navigate. And so although today is called Good Friday, it's actually only good for you and I. It was probably the worst day of Christ's life, a day that he knew was a necessary part of his Father's plan to redeem us, but the most difficult, the worst day he could possibly face. And so because of that day, because of what he did, on our worst days, in our weakest moments, he accomplished something that will allow us to navigate those days. And while Jesus was hanging on that cross on Good Friday, not only was he there to give his life for you and I, but he was still in the final moments of his life teaching life lessons. You ever have a really tough day? The last thing you want to be doing is teaching anybody a lesson. You're just trying to make it through. And yet even in the worst moment of his life, Jesus is still in living his life and speaking the words that he spoke. He is still teaching. And while Jesus is there hanging on the cross, he made seven powerful statements that really serve as a framework for us on how to process enduring all, on how to endure the things that we face. And so on Thursday, which would have been yesterday, he gathers his disciples for a final supper. And around 9 p.m., he's actually arrested by the soldiers and betrayed by one of his own. That's not good. When you have somebody that's that close to you that turns their back, you feel that sting deeply. Jesus went through a trial all night long, literally, which was actually illegal. In Roman and Jewish history, it was illegal to have a trial through the night. And yet he went through three different trials in front of two different kings. He was tortured and beat, and around 9 o'clock, he would finally go to the cross, whipped and bleeding with a crown of thorns pressed into his head. It was horrible by every account. And then he was hoisted up, and when that old wooden cross slammed into the ground, he uttered his first statement, one that many of us are familiar with. In Luke 23:34, he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." What an amazing thing, this statement. Not only that he said it in this moment, but it was the first thing that he said. I want to encourage you on the roughest days that you will face to make your first action forgiveness, to release those who have done anything to you so that it doesn't eat away at you, because unforgiveness is not hurting other people, it's destroying us. The longer we hang on to it, the more destructive it becomes. And even the Bible tells us that offenses will come. So we need to learn to navigate these things the way that Jesus did. His second statement comes in Luke 23:43 when he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This was his response to the thief on the cross next to him and who cried out and said, "Listen, if you are who you say you are, then remember me today when you go to paradise. Remember when you step into heaven, remember me." And so even as Jesus is dying, he's still ministering to people. He's still reaching out to them, and that was his response. "Truly, today you will be with me in paradise." I think we need to learn to slow down in our lives and listen to those in our lives who are saying, hey, remember me? I need help. I need you to help me. And sometimes you won't always hear those words, but you need to be sensitive enough to see in people's lives that they're going through something. And I have learned in my life that the best way to navigate and endure a rough patch in my life is to reach out and to help someone else going through something similar. And suddenly, it's like the art of passionate distraction. Because suddenly, as you help somebody else, your difficulties, your struggles, your bad day doesn't seem as bad as it at once was. See, life was never meant to be done alone. We need to offer one another support. That's why in our own church, small groups are of such paramount importance. The third statement we see in John 19:26-27. This is when Jesus is on the cross and he looks down from the cross and he sees his mother. And he sees the beloved disciple John. And he cries out and says, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he says, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the Bible says, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus was a good son. In his final moments, he made sure that his mother would be cared for because his life was coming to an end, at least that part of it. Such an amazing act of selflessness. You know, we all experience hurts and offenses and issues in our lives that sometimes cause us to lose perspective. And when we do, we start to lash out sometimes at the people that are closest to us, the people that we love the most. They tend to get the brunt of our frustration when it's not them that is the problem. I think we all need to be aware of our loved ones as Jesus was in that moment, that when you go through tough times, when you suffer, be aware that there's people around you that are feeling for you or maybe feeling hurt because of the things that you potentially say and do. But think of them. The fourth statement in Matthew 27:46 says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, when life doesn't make sense, and that happens sometimes, we need to trust him completely. All of us have questions, and I'm glad that Jesus had questions too. That in this moment, he questioned God on a day and in a moment of desperation. Even though he knew in his heart he had to endure it, he still questioned the Father. You see, when I read that, I feel like it gives me permission to sometimes say to God myself, because I do, hey, like, wait a minute, God, I don't know what's going on right now. It's okay to feel that way in your life, because even Jesus demonstrated it in that moment. But make sure in your life that you aim your toughest questions towards the only one that can answer them, to Jesus. His fifth statement is seen in John 19, 28. And this is an interesting statement, a short one, but he says, I am thirsty. He cries out. This kind of reveals to us the humanity of Christ. All of us, I think, need to be human enough that when we're going through a tough time, to just admit it. Don't try to be Superman, hold it all in, or Wonder Woman, and pretend that nothing affects you when it does. Sometimes you need to reach out and to say, listen, I need some help, man. I'm going through some crazy things in my life right now, and I need someone to stand with me and to pray with me. We need to learn to open up, to be human. The sixth statement that Jesus made on the cross, actually many people think is his final statement, but it actually wasn't. John 19, 30, it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This statement, this powerful statement, wasn't actually a statement about being finished in the natural, like his final breath. Because truthfully, he was still bleeding and dying and questioning God as he was saying it. It was actually a very powerful statement of faith about the thing that he had been called to do, like crossing the finish line in that moment. And even in our lives, we need to have that same endurance to push through what we're facing. Even when we don't know when it will end or how it will end, we do know in Jesus' name that it will at some point, and that God's purpose will be established through it all. And so, like Jesus, sometimes in the middle of those lessons, in those middle of those challenges, we need to say, it's finished. I got you. I know what's happened here, and I know how to push through this. And then his final statement in Luke 23, 46 says that Jesus called out with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, this is an act of surrender. It's Jesus letting go as he breathes his last. My encouragement to you today, no matter what you face on the toughest days that you navigate, to let those struggles go, to release them. For many of us, those struggles have become an old familiar friend, a traveling partner that's always there, seemingly holding us back. But whatever your worst day looks like, whatever your worst situation looks like, we need to let it go and surrender it to God. The great Jack Hayford, a pastor in the States, said, to live through a bad day, indeed, to conclude it, is to place it into the hands of God and leave it there. We must follow those instructions. This morning, we remember. We remember those words. We remember what he did on the cross. And we do that by celebrating communion together. So I'm going to invite our servers today to come and prepare for communion, to begin to distribute the elements today. And as they do that, I want you to take a moment, because what we're going to do before we receive communion is just take a moment to worship God in this day. As we pause and focus on the cross and on his sacrifice, as we focus on his final seven statements, we take time to reflect on how they connect to us today in this moment. And so as you receive the emblems, I want you to think through those things, to make it personal. Not to look at it from the general sense, but look at it from the sense of what's going on in you. Sunday is going to be a party. It's going to be the greatest day that we will ever celebrate. But you cannot experience Easter Sunday without Good Friday. That's just the way that God ordained it all. Today, that sacrifice was made, that countdown started, and it moves us ever closer. So today we pause to remember the cross. All that pain, all the suffering that he endured was because of you and me. My sin put him there. So as you hold the emblems in your hand, just pause and reflect as we worship, and then we'll receive together.